You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
At the end of one year and the beginning of a new year, people take stock of things and even sometimes of themselves. It is human to remember. And it is also human to wonder what is coming next. Time keeps rushing on. Time passes, never to be recaptured. As the years come and go, time becomes a precious commodity, often wasted and sometimes misused. Time becomes a chain, constantly being drawn tighter and tighter. Looking back and looking forward, taking stock of things and being acutely conscious of his own situation, St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "As a prisoner in the Lord, I encourage you to practice a way of life that will be worthy of the calling to which you have been called." At the moment, Paul had plenty of time on his hands. He called himself a prisoner in the Lord. Paul was in jail for the sake of the Lord whom he served. Paul might have had good reason for feeling sorry for himself. Most prisoners, quite understandably, have one great desire: to get out of jail. I visited prisoners behind bars, and it gives you a strange feeling to hear that steel door clang behind you as you go out, enjoying all this freedom and leaving others behind in their confinement. Actually, people outside that enclosure often suffer their own confinement, frittering away time and energy, dying inch by inch, playing their own little games, plagued by their own little desires, and constantly preoccupied with what is essentially unimportant. Life becomes a prison when the unimportant becomes all important. Insignificance has a way of elbowing its way to priority status, often at the expense of time, family, and friends, and at great cost to faith, which has to take a back seat in order that the unimportant may occupy the front seat. When you come to think about it, a healthy perspective on life is all important. Although a prisoner at the time, Paul had a healthy and wholesome perspective on life. He did not spend his time feeling sorry for himself. He did not complain that he had been treated unfairly. He understood what makes life worthwhile. In this letter, he said, "I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I am an ambassador in bonds. I, Paul, a prisoner in the Lord, encourage you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." That kind of talk is much too strong for a lot of people. People generally don't want to be obligated to anyone, much less to God, with that kind of commitment. Paul, you see, acquired a focus in life. His name has made a difference in the world. Apart from being the self-made man he once tried to be, supposedly devoted to God in a strange sort of way, thinking of himself as full of the zeal of the Lord, about which he remarked later on that it had been without knowledge, Paul had been overcome now by the wonderful grace of God. He had come to know Jesus Christ. In Christ, as he often said, he had come to have a new perspective on life and on time, on what is important and what is unimportant. Christ puts everything into perspective. Faith in Christ gives a new direction. Christ gives life a new focus and a new flavor. It is real life, as Paul said, "For me, living is Christ." The faith of Christ burned in Paul's heart like a living fire. He was consumed by it, but it did not consume him. It kept on building him up, with a new love and a new hope that is true and sure altogether. How can Christ do that for people? He does it by being exactly what he is. He is the Son of the living God, become altogether human as we are human. He was born, an event the whole world has just celebrated. He lived just like one of us, only more so. He died as we have to die, only more so. When he died, Paul said, all died. And he died for all, that those who live by faith in him should not henceforth live to themselves alone, but for him who for their sakes died and rose again. As anyone can see, the death of Jesus was some death, kept within 3 days by his resurrection from the dead through the glory of his Father. Christ died for all, including you, that your sins might be forgiven by a gracious God, who raised Jesus from the dead to assure you that he really forgives. Christ lives for all, exercising lordship over all, giving significance to life, and putting the insignificant in its proper place. He is Lord of all. He knows all about life, putting everything into perspective. How anyone in the world could ignore Christ is almost beyond comprehension. But it is done all the time. That is what happens when the important is treated as if it is unimportant. And the unimportant is looked upon as all important. The process leads inevitably to the cheapening of life, which makes people prisoners of the unimportant. So it is that commitment to God and to Christ makes people wonder whether you've gone off the deep end or slipped a gear somewhere. After all, religion is all right in its place. It is acceptable, quite respectable, even patriotic, if one doesn't get carried away by it. It's quite common to regard people who have committed their lives to Christ as fanatics. They are thought of as having lost control of themselves, lost sight of the harsh realities of life out there, lost the delicate balance between brain and brawn, which are supposed to be the mark of genuine humanity. Real humanity, of course, is recovered not by intellectual activity or even religious exercise, but by the grace of God, which is in Christ, touching the hearts of people and renewing their minds through the good news of God that is in Christ Jesus. I'm a prisoner in the Lord, said Paul. He was in bondage, but not in bondage to the unimportant. How easily we become enslaved to the unimportant. The whole world shivers whenever you mention a new oil or gasoline crisis. Prisoners to the unimportant easily become devoted to what we call the easy life. Tempus fugit, screamed the foreman to the girls on the sewing machines in the pajama game. Racing the clock sometimes becomes the cause of fractured human relationships, the ulcerous side of society, the inability to stop and think, to relate and to receive. People easily become prisoners of their careers. They sacrifice everything to get ahead. Sometimes their health, and at other times their leisure. Sometimes their friends. Sometimes their sanity. And not infrequently, their faith in God. Paul had experienced some of that. At one time he said, Demas, in love with this present world, forsook the mission. Jesus himself experienced it. This young ruler could not give up his preoccupation with things to follow Jesus. In the politics of life, some people like Felix, the Roman governor, look for a more convenient season. Others like Judas fall prey to the glitter of a few pieces of silver. Still others, like Faust, have been known to sell their souls to Satan. The pressure is always there to become prisoners of the unimportant, prisoners of our homes, of our privacy, of our health, and of our money, allowing things or whatever to surface as the consuming priority of life. in the name of Jesus, whom he was glad to serve as a prisoner. Paul summoned people to shake off the shackles of the unimportant and to assume gladly the freedom of being a prisoner in the Lord. Live lives, he wrote, worthy of the calling to which you have been called. In Christ, the negative goes out the window and the positive comes marching majestically in. God calls you to believe in him, to receive his forgiveness with the grace he gives, to make your way in the world and through the world as the conqueror's Christ expects his people to be. They may be self-effacing, but they're not cowards. They certainly are forgiven and forgiving, but they are not patsies for every scheme that comes along. They have their eyes on a goal because they have a calling from God. Martin Luther made a great deal of one's calling. It is a vocation, not just an occupation or profession. Vocation has to do with the ordinary things of life, its everyday pursuits. It is serving God wherever you are, whatever your occupation, with only one goal, love for God. Vocation is loving God enough to obey him. It is putting first things first. It is doing God's will and discovering the secret of a truly satisfying life. It is being God's man or woman, his boy or girl, whatever the cost. It is obeying the law of perfect liberty and enjoying the freedom of a citizen in God's commonwealth. A 3-year-old girl went with her grandparents and her mother to the funeral home where the body of her great-grandmother was lying in state after death at the age of 91. The little girl said to her mother, "Why didn't great-grandma take her cane and her earrings along?" Her mother answered quietly, "She doesn't need them anymore." My friend, the time will come when you will not need them anymore. All those unimportant things that are often regarded as terribly important. Then what is truly important will become crystal clear. Everything will come into perspective, including the days and the years, when faith becomes sight and hope becomes reality. When prisoners in Christ discover the glory of the calling of God to which they have been called, to which you are called at this gracious moment in time, maybe just in time, by the gospel of Christ, whose glory even now fills both earth and skies. He has risen to the heights. He has taken captivity captive, and in his grace, he gives gifts to his people who love him and the day of his appearing. Jesus Christ lives. That's Paul talking. As a prisoner in the Lord, I encourage you to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Amen.